185miles south.com.
Smash that Patreon button.
Miles South, a hardcore punk rock podcast. What's up, everyone? We are back and talking hardcore. Helping out, you know him, you love him. It is the best dressed man on the pod. It is Daniel Sant. What's up, Dan?
Yo.
Also helping out, it is Ben Merlis, a.k.a. Ben Edge, a.k.a. Bedge. What's up, Ben?
What's going on?
And rounding us out, don't call him Cincinnati. It is the man known as Clevo. What's up, Clevo?
It's time to get the scene back on track.
That is correct. All right, everyone, this week we are doing a Super 7 on the year 1997. And it is so fun doing these years because, you know, I have these notions of what they were in my head. And then looking at them on paper, good God, man, I think this might be my favorite year of hardcore. This is like really gnarly narrowing down. And I have like a bunch I want to get on my list. And then I have some that I know are going on the honorable mentions. And that list is fucking long. That's like, I don't know, 20 plus things. And I like it all. It's not like I'm trying to shout out to bands. This is like heartbreaking stuff. I don't know. This is a great year for hardcore. Me personally, I get into hardcore maybe the year before, 96-ish. So 97, I'm all the way in. You know, when you discover this shit, you jump in feet first. I actually do a record this year. I was in a band called Voice of Defiance. We put out a 7-inch called Oxnard Hardcore Pride that came out in 1997. You see it on Discogs. There's a couple for sale, so handle business, people. But yeah, great year. Dan, what's up with 97 in your eyes?
Well, it's funny that you say there's so much that you think of when you think of a year like this. You think, oh, I know 97. It was this, this, and this. Then when you go doing the little research and like pulling your songs together, you're like, oh, shit, that was all 96 or 98. For me, a lot of the things that I thought were 97, you know?
Yep.
Now, 97 for me personally, I would say it's probably the most spread apart, like at the time, musical taste. Like I would listen to Get Up Kids, followed by Hatebreed, followed by, you know, the new Sick of It All, followed by Ethel Me Serve. Like I was just Still Life, whatever. I was just bouncing around so many different genres. So it's the peak ending of that. And then, you know, when we think of Youth Crew Revival, we think of 97, but a lot of it was prior, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Although this is the year of You Booze, You Lose, so what's up?
Yeah, don't give that away, please.
Clevo, what's your take on 97?
You know, 97, when I sat down to do my list, this is probably the shortest list that I've had. I think that a lot of stuff, when we first said we were doing 97, it's like, oh, there's so much stuff. And I really think that a lot of stuff came out, like we said, 96, 98. I think that the lists are going to be quite diverse tonight. But also, you know, I was in a band that also put out a record this year, even though I didn't play on it, and toured. So got to see quite a bit of stuff going on too around the country at the time. So yeah, this should be pretty interesting.
Clevo, when Tenured Fight came to Oxnard, was that in 97 or 98?
That was 98. 97, we did, 97 was Corona.
Okay, I was there. I was there too. Actually, you know what? We probably all were. So how about that? Ben, 97, what's up?
97, 10-Yard Fight also played Pickle Patch with Eyelid and Battery.
It's the whole Battery tour. Yeah. I went to all of them.
Same. So yeah, 97, I was freshman and sophomore in college living in Santa Barbara or Isla Vista, whatever, UC Santa Barbara. Fun year to experience in real time, especially for a youth crew kid like myself. And like, though I see it, you know, you look at in retrospect, you can see, oh, this youth crew revival thing had been bubbling for a couple of years on the East Coast, but it really started hitting the West Coast in 97. And I don't think it really replaces any other subgenre of hardcore. Like you have this like metal dominant scene in the 90s and like that stays that way. Like no, those bands are still going very strong in 97. So it's kind of just like a much needed addition to the mix. So you have, you know, 10 Yard Fight LP, 10 Yard Fight Fast Break Split, Rancor for 7-inch. And then you also have the Victory Record stuff like Integrity. You have pop punk like Dillinger 4 and Screeching Weasel and Adonis. And then you still have all that Epithet stuff coming out like Pennywise and Pulley. And Victory has Snapcase, the second Snapcase album, which someone back then was throwing around the number 70,000, which is just absurdly high for a hardcore label to sell one title for that Snapcase LP. So that was like a big thing. And then the second Strife album, the first Hatebreed LP, that's all on Victory. So that's like a big year for that kind of first wave of Victory stuff. And then it's kind of the tail end or maybe already the end of the major label punk band signing rush. You know, you have all these in the wake of Green Day getting big, all these punk bands are getting signed to majors. And then it like at this point, I think the dust is kind of settling on that. And then this is like a little bit before you have major labels signing emo bands, but you still have that transitional generation of emo, like At the Drive-In, Get Up Kids, Promise Ring, Saves the Day, putting out stuff on indie labels. So you have like all these emo-ish bands sort of abandoning the core in emo core and proving that you can like make poppy shit. And that sets the table for like that early 2000s Taking Back Sunday kind of stuff. And then of course Lifetime puts out their third album and breaks up all in 1997.
Ben, Saves the Day doesn't come out until 98, although the demo does come out this year.
But, yeah, demo.
Get your facts straight, man. Nope. Come on.
No, I'm talking about the demo.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Okay, Dan, let everyone know what the Super 7 is and let us know the order.
Okay, a Super 7 is a fun way that we compile the best mixtapes around and we compete with the listeners' votes being the deciding factor. What we do is we go in order like a football draft and each person can pick one song for each round, but they cannot, that song cannot be picked again, but the band can. So the order this time is Ben, Zach, Clevo, me in the Nard Curse spot. You know,
yeah. And just to clarify, we're not choosing our lists like four votes. We're choosing our lists of our favorite stuff and then we're putting it out to the people. Right, yep. Dan?
Yes, all right. That's a big clarification because, you know, people should actually look at what's on the list and you know, we're not doing it like to pander to the fans. It's like, these are the things when I go back into that year, these are the things I like the best.
Right. And also, everyone, there's a playlist for every episode, 185milesouth.com. Click that playlist link at the top of the page. And you can check it out. But spoiler alert, all of our picks are on there right now, or at least the ones that are on Spotify. You can also hunt down 185 Miles South on Spotify if you want to skip the website. But okay, let's go to Ben for his favorite Lifetime song of the year.
25 Cent Giraffes. Thank you for asking. It begins with just vocals and power chords, which is a very Epiphat trope, you know, to start a song with just a guitar and someone singing, which is almost always corny, but I don't think it's corny when Lifetime is doing it here. And then the song kicks in with kind of, I think what Zach would consider a slow, fast beat, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. And it's totally carried by the vocal melody. You know, you have sometimes when punk bands write songs, and I'm guilty of this too, you think in terms of chord progressions, and then your song, the songwriting ends there. But you know, a lot of that classic oldies and classic rock and stuff that we love is really carried by the vocals and the notes that the singer is singing. So you get that on here. And then lyrically, it's about maintaining a relationship while being out on the road. And then you've got those highly emotional choruses, and then that halftime breakdown at the end, which got done to death by Lifetime clones for years to come. And again, the marshmallow falls off the stick almost every time in those cases, but not when Lifetime's doing it here. And I don't know. This whole album's great. You can't go wrong with any track off of it, but I don't know. This song always has stood out for me.
Yeah, I disagree big time on that guitar and singing combo, like when it's just those two, ever being corny. It's kind of like one of those things that anyone can do it, and that part is dope. It's just how they come in from it that they can like whiff big time. It's kind of like if you're a non-youth crew band and you do the youth crew toms, like that part is always a win. It's just whatever shit you've surrounded that with is probably a losing proposition. So yeah, I don't know. This is a great song, and his voice sounds great on this. I love when you can't understand what he's saying. It makes the band punk, you know? So Dan, you got anything on this?
Oh, it's a great pick. You could throw a dartboard at a lot of the songs on this LP and you're going to get a winner. But yeah, this is a good, and I back you up for the most part, unless like a vocalist is just doing the craziest, like weird, you know, version of their voice. Do you know what I mean? Like where they're like just when it's just that kind of vocal and guitar, sometimes it's like, ugh. But for the most part, it is great.
Yeah. And this might be the most popular record of the year. There's a shot that we all take a song off it, but we'll see. Clevo, do you want to say anything on this, or should I take my number one?
I'm glad that Ben took a song that wasn't even on my list from this record. Yeah, we'll probably talk about it again.
Sick. All right. My number one, being true to myself. You know what I'm taking. Fool. Taking Powerhouse, Nothing Sacred. One of the greatest hardcore songs of all time. You cannot fuck with that buildup into the breakdown when it cuts out. It's just the bass by itself. Well, first of all, let's just talk the song in general. Like the way it comes in on like the cymbal, like the catches and the ring outs, you know, and then we're in on that just savage ass beat that Jay concocted, which is like, it's a scissor beat with the doo-dat-doo-dat mashed up. It's like, what the fuck is going on? Why is this so great? It should have never worked, but it did because they played it that fast, right? And then Chris has got such a great vocal cadence over this. And it's just like one of those insular hardcore songs, right? Like I love some of the lyrics on this so much, you know, where a lot of bands take a stab at making, you know, scene lyrics and whiff. Like these are just so perfect. Like that open your eyes, you don't know what it's about. They follow blindly till the style's worn out. Fuck, that's good. And then I love that line, the sheep motherfuckers don't know what it's about. Like that's so sick, dude. Sheep motherfuckers, what's up? I love that. But the song is all about like when it cuts out and it's the bass and like there's just so much confidence how they let that bass just go. It's like a long ass part of the bass going by itself. And then they come in on the longest tom buildup in the history of man. It's just forever. Dun, 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 dun. And you're like, here it comes, here it comes. Oh, wait a little longer. Oh, here it comes, here it comes. Oh, wait a little longer. And then the payoff is so big when it comes in. It's one of the greatest sing-alongs of all time. And yeah, I've been singing the praise of this forever. It finally came out on vinyl last year, so everyone handle business. Get that if you haven't had it in your collection. And it'll be on the playlist, Powerhouse, Nothing Sacred. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a great one. You've got that coveted Jeremy Lux vote now.
That's right. That's right. That's what I'm going for. Just like if I don't get that Lux vote, I feel very betrayed. Like if you don't get that Bordy vote.
Oh, lately he's been stabbing me in the back, left, right, and center. I got to say that tom part, I've always just kind of like gone with this song but I've never really noticed how long it is until you like really are pointing that out. I've always known it's a long build up, but I've never like felt like, oh, here we go. Like I've just known it as like, it's and just hammering the shit out of those drums. And it is very of the, you know, that bridge. I say a lot of the stuff that's around 95 to 97, that's this tempo, that's not full on like Youth Crew Revival. I call it like bridge hardcore because it's like bridging from, you know, classic golden age all the way to like then what comes in 2000. And it's this kind of like meaty tempo, like Killing Time tempo, you know? And yeah, this is just so indicative of the time and such a successful, amazing song.
Hell yeah. All right, Clevo, what is your number one song of 97?
I am going to take from the Time Is Now comp, Floor Punch with Always.
Yes.
Possibly my favorite Floor Punch song. Probably my favorite version of my favorite Floor Punch song. This one always gets you going, gets people out on the dance floor. One, two, three, go. You're fucking moshing, all that stuff. It's fucking Floor Punch. It's great. It's posy. It's got a mosh part. It's fast. It's everything you want from a Floor Punch song. And this is the standout from this comp. This is, like I said, this is probably one of their best songs, if not like my favorite song. It's got everything you want from a Floor Punch song. I there's not really much else I can say about it.
It's possibly Porter's best like vocal delivery, like the cadence of the vocals is so good and so catchy that all us kids, all our stories come together for the glory. Seem we have, it's like no other. Every kid, if you're my brother, pick you up when you fall. I don't know. It's like the whole thing is fucking catchy.
You only have like three lines left. You want to finish it?
Help you out when you fall, pick you up, when you're back to the wall. It's in our hearts, it's in our veins. Positive youth will always remain. Yep. Nail the whole thing off the
and
fucking.
And then the mosh part. Whew.
Yeah, just that big open ass mosh part, so good. Yeah, I mean this makes that comp, right? And it comes out again on the LP, which is the following year. So like, but here it is. It's like, here's a song that's there for a year before it gets re-recorded. This song is so good, definitely the standout on the comp and a very good comp also. But like, good God, man, this song is something else. Ben, you want to say anything on, or Dan, you want to say anything on this before we shoot it to Ben for his number one?
I can just tell you I love it.
Well, how about that? Ben, you want to say anything about this, or do you want to take your number one? Let's see here. We're going to Dan. Yeah, my bad. This show needs a new host. Ben, you want to say anything about this, or should I send it to Dan for his number one?
Yeah, I like the song. I mean, this is a good comp. When this comp came out, I think we did a head to head Growing Stronger Time Is Now, which I always, if you ask me, you know, this song, what comp was it on, they kind of mixed together in my mind, but it's a very great mixture.
Yeah,
I can see that mix happening.
Yeah, but the difference is the Time Is Now has one of the greatest Floor Punch songs, and Growing Stronger has a filler Floor Punch song, which is a rarity at this time.
Absolutely.
It's Floor Punch's first filler song.
Only? LP, maybe.
There's some stuff on the LP, but up to this point, this is Floor Punch's only filler song, is that song on Growing Stronger.
True. And
I heard it's because they didn't like Chris Kelly, but who knows?
If you talk to some Jersey dudes, they say that the song from the Growing Stronger comp, that's like their favorite, and they think that Always is like the song that the Boston kids liked. But I think we won on that one.
I love it. And we're just playing, so don't get at me.
And okay, where are those youth now? The positive youth have always remained.
Yeah, well, they all grew out their hair and dyed it black and put on zip ups and became American Nightmare fans. What do you know?
Oh, no, I was talking about the other. Never mind. They're all around, I'm sure.
All right, Dan, number one.
God, it's so hard because Cleaver, I didn't want to give Cleaver the satisfaction of me screaming that he took the Floor Punch song, but it happened. So now I'm scrambling a little bit, and I'm going to take this song now. Because I have some other songs by some of the other bands. Oh shit. If I leave, now I'm like backed into a corner. Going fourth is tough. Okay. On the first day, it was foretold that creation went the way the story is told. And then the part where he comes in and goes, would be set free. I'm going Ink and Dagger, The Road to Hell, off of the 7-inch, which is very, let me see if I can get it wrong. It's like Drive This Stake. Does anyone know it off the top of their head?
Drive this 7-inch stake stake through my Philadelphia. Drive the 7-inch wooden stake through my Philadelphia heart.
Yeah, I remember it.
The wooden is in there.
I think it's drive this cheesesteak into my drive this Philly cheesesteak into my heart. Am I right?
Well, that I mean, in through the veins and into the heart. this 7-inch when it came out, not only was it so creative and so unique and different in regard to the way it looked, the way it folded out, and the way it had this beautiful layout, but the music is super aggressive, but super catchy and just different from almost everything. But and then you get to see them live around this time. They come to your town. Not only when I saw them at Coos Cafe, that is, not only were the band all in the vampire makeup, like one third of the crowd had showed up that way. And it was just the most fucking like wild show. Just so good. And then they played the day after in, I believe, Santee with Botch, Nine Eye and Spitfire. And them in a girl's living room, a girl named Janelle's living room. And that show was incredible as well. This is such a great song. The vocal performance is so awesome because it's a little bit buried, but it's so like the pitch of the vocals carry over the music. And it just has this dark like nod to like Samhain like vibe that doesn't really sound like it at all, but it has that almost cult like feel to this song. It's so good.
Ben, do you have anything on the, excuse me, Clevo, do you have anything on this, or should I shoot it to Ben for his number two?
Yeah, you know, that thing where it's like they look like Samhain but they sound like Swizz, and just They just brought it. I saw them probably around the time of the first 7-inch, and not only did they come out in the makeup, but they like had like everyone outside of the club, and they like set up like lights and candles and stuff on stage to like make it like a full on experience. Sean came out and bit some dude on the neck, like totally went crazy. But the funny thing is, I had like met Sean at that time, and like after the show was talking to him and like a bunch of us, and he was telling us about they were either going to be a vampire band or a pirate band. And knowing Sean, he may have been fucking with us, but also could you imagine if they would have been a pirate band?
Shout out Mateau from Orange County. That was a pirate band.
All right. Hell yeah. Ben, number two.
I can't talk about Ink and Dagger.
No, because you interrupted and talked over people with a terrible cheesesteak joke. So,
I thought it was a good joke.
Jump right to your number two.
I appreciate it. Okay, I'm not going to talk about Ink and Dagger. I'm going to talk about Octavio, come on, man. Atari, yeah. Where were you? This is the first song on their first 7-inch. It starts with a bass line, and then it comes in. When did you start to care? And you can tell, like, this dude only can play either scissor beats or breakdowns, but not like a slow, fast, like whatever, Chain of Strength beat. Can't do it. Doesn't matter. Somehow it works. This shit is incredible. One guy's playing octaves the entire time. One guy's playing power chords. Maybe both are playing octaves in some parts. Whatever they're doing, this shit is working. It's now on Spotify. It's incredible. I've been listening to it a lot lately, and I love the gang backup, the call and response backups. All the talk, all the lies. It kind of gives me a vibe that I get from that Wide Awake 7-inch. It's just got this like, yeah. It's like this epic, it's like a band that can barely hold it together writing an epic song. I mean, it's probably like 2 minutes long. What am I saying? It's epic, but it just has that kind of epic, like, we're going to fucking call you out kind of vibe. I don't think Atari has a 7-inch after this. It's not quite as good. It's still great. I think this is the peak of their, you know, one demo, 2 7-inch career.
Yeah. And also the demo comes out on 7-inch. So it's like they're a 3 7-inch band. Yeah, this is great. Like, you can't accuse them of not going for it, right? Like, they're doing their best. And I think they hit this one out of the park. And we've talked before, when bands are doing that scissor beat, like, it's important to like mic properly. And this is pretty sick. Like, the scissor beat is not annoying because they're not doing it in a small spurts. So they're doing it as like the backbone of the band. The other funny thing is Atari just started an Instagram a few months ago, probably that coincided with like this stuff going up on streaming. And like, I don't know, one of the first photos that they posted, you know, I was looking, I was like, God, which one's Octavio? You know, this is going to be sick. We're going to find out which one he is, because we're going to, like, one guy's going to be doing an octave, right? But both fools, like, had their fingers all in, like, octave positions. And I was like, oh, my God, we can't even tell which one is Octavio. So, yeah, this is a great pick. Stoked to have it on the playlist. Clevo, you want to speak on this, or Dan?
I love it, but maybe they'll be featured again.
Oh.
Hell yeah.
Oh.
You know, that's the thing, is I think these years, like 96, 97, 98, there was so much, you know, Posse Core, Youth Crew Revival, whatever was happening then, that I feel like some of the stuff sort of slipped through the cracks, or there's blind spots even with that, just because there was like so much stuff going on at that time that it's like oh, like there's all these bands. I'm not saying that all of the bands sounded the same, but I feel like this is probably one that just slipped past me.
Fair. Okay, I am going to take, this is not strategy at all, because I have 1, 2, 3, I have 5 songs on my short list. But Hatebreed, Satisfaction and the Death of Desire comes out this year. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take Integrity Rise. this is like the final Integrity LP with the Melnicks. And I, you know, people don't put it in with like all the classic stuff. And I think that there's some really great stuff on here, especially this. Like, this is the first song. And like, I don't know, just the way it starts with like those snare fills. And then into like that slow fast, and like the riff is good. His voice sounds savage. I don't know. It's like just a perfect song. Verse, chorus, breakdown. And then they drop like to a slower tempo, and it's a great guitar solo. It's one of the best Integrity solos. It's just a straight up perfect song. And that riff, like that breakdown riff when they're doing the solo, is like all time classic Integrity riff. Like, I don't know. I think this is one of the best Integrity songs in the history of their band, and it doesn't get mentioned with all the other stuff. So I wanted to have it on my list. I want to have it on this playlist. And yeah, the final run here, you know, they get back together and they do that Integrity 2000, right? Which is like universally unloved. And then they do that To Die For record that comes back, and people like that record, you know? It seemed like, but I don't know, it seemed kind of thin. And then when they toured off it, like, no one liked them at that time. Like, I think I saw them to like 30 people in Bakersfield. Yeah, it was rough. And then like everything after that has been kind of like hit or miss. So there's like good stuff on all the records. Like it's just kind of hit or miss. Like this is like the end of the classic era, and this is one of the best songs. And you know, it's before Dwid like kind of morphs into the Guy Fieri of hardcore. So I don't know. Gotta appreciate this. Integrity Rise. Dan, what do you think about this?
It's absolutely sick. There's actually a lot of good stuff on this LP. I'm taking a song off this LP, but I'm not taking this one. Well, I'm not taking
it. You're goddamn right you're not. Clevo, where does this fall into the Integrity catalog?
Low for Melnick, high for Integrity overall. So yeah, if the Melnicks were involved, this is not my favorite. I do have to say though, I remember hearing it at the time when it came out, and I thought it was like, it just didn't hit me then. And I probably listened to it the least. So it's probably something that maybe if I went back to and listened to, with older ears, I might appreciate it more. I was talking to Larry Bleachmouth about Integrity the other night, and we were talking about, you know, the influence of Japanese hardcore in there. And, you know, I think that's one thing you see definitely on Systems. And then on this album too, that there's more of that. So I might like it a lot more now than I did before.
Yeah. Cause you've gotten into that stuff since then. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. Ben, do you want to speak on this or should I shoot it to Clevo for his number two?
Yeah. I think what you were saying, Zach, about how this is sort of kind of people look past this one. I mean, speaking for myself, I own this. I like it. I never go to it. I always, when I want to listen to Integrity, I listen to stuff that came out before this, knowing that this is good and that I own this and I'm not going to ever sell it. So now this makes me want to go back and listen to it. Because I think this is probably maybe not as good as anything that came before it, but better than anything that came after it. Would you say that's fair to say?
Yeah, it also has that weirdo ass song where, like, is there a piano and he's just like growling? Like, what the fuck is that song? Like, I don't know. If we're going for a vibe, they nailed it on that one. I'll try to find it. Okay, let's go to Clevo for his number two.
I'm actually shocked this is here, but I'm going to take Superhero by Bane. I love that I'm just stealing stuff from Dan left and right here.
I went with Ink and Dagger to like cut you off at the pass, and then now you've cut me off at the pass.
Yeah, this song is, you know, I think this is really where Bane, you know, starts to really leave their mark as a band, you know, on their second 7-inch. But the really, you get to see Bedard just lyrically, this song is so good. And just like, it's like positive in a way that's like, this doesn't make any sense. It's positive in a way that's like uplifting. Like, you know, it's about smoking and, you know, how, you know, instead of, you know, saying, you know, you're a piece of shit because you smoke, or, you know, don't you dare steal my air. It's you can do this. Like, you know, you can just lift yourself up and you can beat this. And I think that that's really what you get when you talk to Bedard. You know, it's just like his personality comes off in this, and it's just such a good lyrical song that it's just, you know, it is what Bane really becomes known for eventually, but this is like the beginning of that.
Yeah, this is some of the best lyrics like ever, you know, especially like as a, you know, a straight edge type song. I'm glad you got a Clevo instead of Dan with his ignorant, it doesn't mean shit till you're 21 self. So respect on that. But
change to 51.
Yeah. That's right. Ben, do you want to speak on this or should I shoot it to Dan?
I might speak on this later. It might tie into another pick if I'm able to get the pick. So shoot it to Dan.
All right, Dan, you want to speak on this before you take your number two?
I just say it's a thinking person's straight edge song. You know, it like Clevo said, it's uplifting. It's talking about really based in the reality of what it is to quit things that are dominating your life. And it does it in such a amazing way, like an arm around the shoulder lyrically. And I love the line, "The difference between hard and impossible is about 1,000 miles wide." So it means you've got a lot of hard work ahead of you, but it's not impossible. It's never impossible.
I also really like the line, "She blows her brains right out her fucking mouth," is just such a, like, that's just like such a hard, like you could see Mike Judge coming up with something like that.
Yeah.
But the next line is the perfect one, because everyone who is straight edge that has had a talk with someone who goes, "Oh, I just don't know how you do it."
Yeah.
Like, that line resonates so strongly because we've all heard it a million times, you know?
Yeah, right on. Dan, number two.
All right. I think I'm going to go, I'm going to have to just hit you with, "What makes you think everything in this world that you have can't be taken away?" I'm going for "Before Dishonor," Hatebreed.
Yes.
Just the strength of these vocals, like that, and the backups are perfectly, perfectly produced. The music sounds incredible, following "Under the Knife," which sounds crispy and crunchy, and it is great in its own world. But this is the polishing of the diamond, you know? And at the time, I liked this, but I didn't, like, love it. And over time, every year, I've invested a little bit more time into listening to it. And then, you know, then it'll go away for a little bit, and then I'll come back to it and be like, fucking hell, there's nothing that can, like, touch this for the exact genre it is. Because his voice is that voice that so many people have tried to copy after this. And his is so perfectly in the pocket, where it's tough, it's guttural, it's raw, but it's completely audible. And it's so sing-along. Like, and the cadence to the vocals on this, like, "I wasn't living for my," like, just those sing-along parts, like, so good. Like, I absolutely love it, and the backups make it. I could pick 10 songs off this, easy, you know, but I'm going with this one. I was almost going to do "Last Breath," because I love the opening line to it. It's just so hard and so tough about, like, a, you know, a deathbed type song. But I'm going for "Before Dishonor" because it's just hard as fuck and also catchy as fuck.
This is a great pick because it's the mid-tempo banger. I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's like the third slot. So it's like right where that song should go. And it's so good. You know, mid-tempo banger into like that mosh part chorus with like the Big Gangs. I think it's the first time that the Big Gangs come in on the record. The "I'll choose my own. I will not be a victim. I'll choose my own." Yeah. Also, great sample before the song starts. So sick,
and
dude.
It has, I love that. And it has an element of bounce without like actual bounce. Do you know what I mean? That's part of it being the mid-tempo banger, I suppose.
Yeah, because it's like, it's Hatebreed doing like, you know, a two-step part on the mid-tempo, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's so sick. This is a great pick. I'm definitely choosing something off this record. Yeah, and if we were picking 50 songs for the year, I'd probably choose the whole record. But hard to get everything on. Clevo, you want to speak on this, or should I shoot it to Ben for his number three?
I mean, it's Hatebreed. Like, you know, this record, you know, just really, they just blew up so much after this record.
Yeah. I mean, I love this too. Cause like they knew they had like magic in a bottle. Like they toured off it for 5 years. So sick.
Yeah. And you know, they knew it was a championship quality because they made the record cover baby blue.
Dude, so good. So good. Everything about it is great. Okay, band number three.
All right. I'm going to go to the Pacific Northwest. Shout out Posse Chris, NWHC podcast. I'm going to pick This Is Not a Trend by the band Trial. This is a song about straight edge, and it's so much more than just a slogan or mark drawn on my hand, not a market to be exploited or a fashion statement represented by a brand. It's just such good lyrics. So, and this is their best song in their whole catalog. And I was talking with some friends of mine about how, like, oh, we're going to do this 97 Super 7, just kind of talking about songs from this year. And I was saying about Bane's Superhero, I was saying, like, God, they're so dramatic about us. They're talking about quitting smoking as if it were like, you know, the end of one of those like Marvel X-Men movies where like the world is coming to an end. All you have to do is put down that cigarette or the whole world will blow up. It's like, come on, don't be so dramatic. And he's all, and my friend's like, yeah, but you like This Is Not a Trend by Trial, where it's all like, oh, straight edge, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. That's true. You got me, because I love this song. And I saw them in 2014 and they didn't play this song and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, but that's your song. It's like going to see Rolling Stones in it. They don't play Satisfaction. Like, what the fuck?
That's offensive. Yeah, because this is the track. Although I would say that I love that Ascension song on the 7-inch just as much. But this is like the one, dude. You know, and also like, you know, they put out the LP. They did a short run and broke up. So it's like, even if the LP is like their best material, like this is the hit song, dude. Come on. Like, and I don't know. He packs a lot of lyrics into this verse, you know, and. Yeah, I mean, like that line that because no one else can tell me what it means to be straight edge. So good. So good. This is like all-time song. I'm so stoked it's on the list because it only made my honorables. But God, this song is good. Dan, are you trying to speak on this?
Yeah, I was going to say that's the one thing that I would say about this song is that it is so verbose up front. It's like so much vocals. Like, you know, we were talking on recent pods where we're saying like, oh, well, you let the song breathe. Like, no, it's a full blown smother factor at the beginning, but then it cuts and it goes to the gang vox, like at the end with the build. And that's when it really comes to its own. That's where the negative space of the song and the gang vocals, like really become the star because it is so like hectic up front.
Yeah, and if you think about like 97 is the year that this Hatebreed LP comes out and changes everything. This Trial and then also Strife does their second LP this year. Like these two records are kind of remnants of the past. Like they're kind of roots hardcore and kind of heavy mosh, but like they actually don't have that much mosh. They lean into like it's the sing along over the mosh. Like if you think about that second Strife record, like the big breakdowns, like there's just one giant breakdown, right? Everything else is kind of like build ups and sing alongs and all that. It's like the Hatebreed LP changes everything. And yeah, God, this is so good. Let me take my number three and I will follow the Hatebreed talk. Let's see here. I am going to take – it's hard. Let me say my whole short list. I narrowed it down to Puritan, Conceived Through an Act of Violence, which might be my favorite. Not One Truth, because the way it starts is insane. Betrayed by Life, good God. Because like you're right into that classic Hatebreed mosh out the gate. But I am going to take – because I love this record so much, I'm going to take a song that ended up being on it, although it's not where I first heard it. I'm going to take Burial for the Living. The first time I ever heard Hatebreed, I was looking today on the internet to see if I could find it. I got like a VHS compilation. I don't even remember where I got it. And it was like a bunch of live stuff and like Hatebreed was on it. And I was like, oh my God, who is this band? And Jamie was even kind of fat at the time. And I loved like, you know, bands with fat singers. It was just sick. You know, it's like, I don't know. Like if your band is like, you know, if you're playing like roots hardcore, but it sounds heavier than that. And then like your singer's fat, it's like, dude, sign me up. You know, I was like, this band is so great. So like I wrote down their name, and then like the next time I went to OC and went to Vinyl Solution, I was looking for Hatebreed, and I got the 7-inch Under the Knife, and then I got the split with Integrity, and there was one Integrity song and one Hatebreed song, and the Hatebreed song is this song, Burial for the Living, and it's just so fucking perfect, dude. Like, it just comes in on like those cymbal accents to the bass. And then right in, fast verse, and then the guitars are ringing out over like slow bounce beats for the chorus when it's like, a burial for the living, life stripped away. Oh God, so good. And then our only hope is dun 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 vengeance dun 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 dun. So good. It's a perfect song. If you don't like it, you don't like hardcore, and that's what's up. Dan, how do you feel about this one versus yours?
Yeah, I mean, this is giving you more like paint by numbers what this album is. You know, it's giving you a lot more of that. Like you say, what everything that we're experiencing now in 2020 from, or maybe like 2019 to now, that dun 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 dun, like it's birthed here, you know, and Bulldoze. I'm surprised you didn't have a Prepare for War on your shortlist.
Dude, I mean, the whole record is like no filler. That's what's so great. It's like,
yeah,
it's literally a mashup of like, if Youth of the Day, like it's Youth of the Day plus Suffocation, right? It's like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
let me ask you this. You went and got that Under the Knife, and then you got, Integrity. Is this your first experience with Integrity, getting the split with Hatebreed?
No. I was already into Integrity.
Oh, okay.
And this, and the Integrity song on this, I do not think is good. I can't remember what it is. I don't know if I ever listened to that side more than once. I listened to this Hatebreed side a million times.
Oh, that Integrity song is good.
Which one is it?
ATF Would Be Proud, which, by the way, somehow, because it's like on, I guess it might be on the B side. Everything lists as BATF Would Be Proud.
That's funny. That is funny. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, and then this Hatebreed LP, I bought it like the day it came out, and like, holy shit, so good. Okay, but that is my pick, and let's see here. Moving on to Clevo, number three.
Yeah, I'm already having, it's already getting to be like, you know, last round, afraid not to get stuff in here. Also, I feel like a lot of the stuff on my list just is not on Spotify. I'm going to take The Trouble from their 7-inch. I'm going to take No Regrets, largely because that's a song that doesn't make it to the LP, and also because it's like one of the angriest songs probably in their catalog. It's got a great breakdown at the end where it's like, madness is what keeps me sane. But yeah, it's, you know, The Trouble, you know, was really, they were playing a lot of shows, you know, at the Rat. Boston in general had a pretty divided scene at the time where, you know, certain bands just kind of played in certain circles. And there was the Trouble, the Dropkick Murphys, Showcase Throwdown, All Systems Stop, you know, they name all the bands off. Dropkick's name all the bands off on that one song. But they kind of all played together. They played a lot of matinees with the Rat, you know, and sort of shows like that. So you really kind of had to seek them out because The Trouble really wasn't playing like straight hardcore shows. And yeah, you know, we kind of stumbled upon them, you know, got this record, and you know, thank God, because it's such a great record. You know, you kind of see them now, and it seems like you look at them and see sort of on the reunion shows, they do come off as more of like a straight hardcore band, but they were really playing like mostly like punk shows, like the Ducky Boys and bands like that.
Yeah. How were those reunion shows?
They were great. I mean, okay. So I only went to the show here, but, yeah, I mean, The Trouble, they were great. They sounded awesome. And, you know, just rip through the hits. And, you know, we've talked about the trouble a few times on the podcast when we did the Boston episode and whatever, but like, yeah, I mean, they sounded awesome. You know, Gibby is, you know, really, you know, kind of, you know, he's on the straight edge path now and, you know, works out a lot. And he like, you know, just looked and sounded really good on stage. So he's not the skinny kid in the white belt with the Keith Moon haircut anymore. Yeah. He's
powerlifted.
Yeah. And he's putting out the high vis LP. So shout out, dude.
Respect.
Yep. That's what's up. Okay. Dan, number three.
Well, I'm going to keep that train rolling. This one's for you. Trouble. When I was just about to exhale greatly when Clevo said, well, I'll go the Trouble. And I'm like, fuck. But yeah, he let this one slide by for me. So I'm psyched. When I first heard this song, you know, when you hear something and you're just like, wow, that's actually perfect. That really sums up how you do a sing-along in punk and like the lyrics backing it up completely. I mean, it's perfect. Never hang up your boots. It says it all. I think it's so catchy, and it just is what you love from oi-tinged punk. Like, it is, it's perfect. It's obviously people who grew up with all the Oi comps and Blitz and all of the No Future singles just being reverberating around their brains for years, and then they just write perfect oi-tinged punk hardcore, and it is fantastic. And like you say, Clevo, on this original stuff, it's a lot more punk than it is hardcore. But I mean, hey, the difference between punk and hardcore is not 1,000 miles wide.
Dan, for people that like the Chisel LP with how much hardcore is on that, do you think that like all those people should listen to this and like it?
Oh my God. If they haven't heard The Trouble and they like the Chisel, like, this is going to just go straight in to their favorite record, number one with a bullet, if they love the Chisel, because this has just an extra element of being catchy and a really snarly voice that is completely audible and delivers such sing-along cadence. It's this 7-inch is fantastic, but the you know, the LP is just, yeah, one for the ages.
Hell yeah. All right, let's go to Ben for his number four.
All right. I'm going to have to go off Spotify here because I don't think this is on there, but I'm going to pick Faded Gray by the band Tomorrow's Gone. Lance Wells is the singer. They're a Las Vegas based hardcore band. And his next band was named after his own song, Faded Gray, of course. Zach talks about him a lot on the pod, but this is where it all originates. They had 1 7-inch that came out this year. This song's incredible. If you're a fan of like emotional, kind of melodic DC influenced hardcore, or just the band Faded Gray, you kind of have an idea of what this is like. I think this was actually, was this? Yeah, this was a 7-inch. I'm confusing it with the Faded Gray demo. But Tomorrow's Gone, I never got to see them. I did see Faded Gray many times. I never got to see Tomorrow's Gone. So I kind of got into this band after the fact. It's, you know, like basically about a friendship ending, kind of, I guess you could say, standard hardcore lyrical content, but just done in such a sincere, heartfelt way where it's like, you know, you could say the most obvious thing in the world, but if your heart is in it, then it sounds fresh. Zach, being that you're such a huge Faded Gray fan, did you ever get into this Tomorrow's Gone 7-inch?
No, and if I'm being 100% honest, I don't love the Faded Gray 7-inch as much as the LP. It's the LP that like is the one that gets me. It all comes together. Mm-hmm. This is cool. I mean, like, it sounds like a rough Faded Gray, right? Like, I don't know. The drumming's not very good. And, but like, I don't know, it's melodic and nice. And I think that Lance's voice is like of the perfect voice to be over like melodic stuff. But yeah, I don't love this, if I'm being honest. And it hurts because like I love that Faded Gray LP. Love it, love it, love it. So I wish I loved the whole ride, but I don't.
Right.
I like
Dan. This.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. It's the I like a strained melodic vocal like this that just is able to hit all the notes but still give you some, you know, guts. And I haven't revisited this in a while, but I have. I'm in Team Zach because I've listened to the Faded Grey LP recently quite a bit. I was hoping that they'd be playing Indecision 30, so let's make that happen, everyone out there. But yeah, it's a great pick and very true to Ben.
Well, hell yeah. Okay, I am going to take my scene, my number four. I am going to take, oh man, you know, I love the Lakers and I hate Boston sports, but I got to give it up to you for this song by this band. I'm taking Dropkick.
Don't take it. Don't take it. Don't take
it. I'm taking it. You can have Skinhead on the MBTA, another great track.
No, I want to sing about Jake from the Stiff Little Fingers.
That line is so good, dude. So yeah, I'm taking Dropkick Murphys, the song Get Up. Dude, this song is so perfect. It comes in on like that perfect, like mid-tempo, like the up-tempo mid-tempo with like just a one little lead thing, you know, while the chords are going in the background, the lead is doing one fucking note. And the background's going. And then his voice coming in. I was listening to this today and I was like, this has to be on my playlist. Like, this song is so classic. And if you like think about his voice, it is so wild, right? Like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, nothing touches this. It's so punk in the way that like you need a lyric sheet. You know, it's just he's belting it out. There's so much soul, but like if you isolate his vocals, it's like, what does he sound like? It's like, like, what the fuck is going on? But it's sick and the lyrics are great. I went to see the Stiff Little Fingers band. Oh my God. You know, like I love when music is referential in that way, like talking about like places and talking about other bands and music, like so sick, you know, and then that chorus. Then, so when I fall down, so get up now. I don't know.
Zach, can I just say in our tried and tested, when the second verse comes in.
Oh my God.
Since 77, they made music for me and you. You're just so like, ah, oh, it's perfect. Oh, sorry, Reg. I just scared Reg.
Yeah. Clevo, what do you think about this?
I mean, it was definitely on my short list. First time I got Snake tonight. Did you take this when we did the Boston episode?
100%. And one of us did. We'll have to see.
Yeah, this is, you know, I really love this record when it came out, and it's probably the Dropkick Murphys record I still listen to the most. You know, I really do prefer the original singer to Al. Sorry, Al. But it's, yeah, this song is just so. So good. It's like that riff is just so catchy and just like drives the song. And yeah, I mean, just like singing a song about going to see Stiff Little Fingers. I love a song that name checks other songs, other bands. I mean,
yes. Yeah. And Dan, just to end the controversy, I pulled up the Boston Super 7. You took Glue in the first round. Respect. Rob took SSD Nothing Done in the first round. Clevo took Chunks by Last Rites in the first round. And your boy, Zach, takes Get Up by the Dropkick Murphys, round one.
Absolutely.
What's up?
Yeah, I probably just remember screaming that I didn't get it then and I didn't get it now.
God, that Super 7 is good. I'm looking at all our playlists. Like, it's just fucking fire. So, all right. Let's go to, let's see. We are to Clevo for your number four.
You know, I really am. The East Coast bias is strong with me tonight.
Always.
It's like even more so. Like, I don't, honestly, I don't think I have anything from the West Coast on my short list today, which is crazy. I'm going to stay in Boston. I'm going to take Blood for Blood, Piss All Over Your Hopes and Dreams.
yes. Yes.
Enough of this positivity bullshit. Let's talk about just this line in here. What you believe and what you're about means shit to me because that's what I'm about. This song is just like, it opens Spit My Last Breath LP. And like, as far as an opener goes, they're just, you know, if in case you didn't know, they're just letting you know what they're here for. And, you know, the opening line, this is it. I can't take it no more. My life has no meaning. Do you think that yours does?
Yep.
And then I love the part in the end where he's like, I don't feel, and just telling you what he doesn't. He just telling you what he doesn't feel for, including I don't feel shit for me and even less for you. You know, it's funny because I think that Rob does have some, you know, Rob does, you know, come across when you talk to him as, you know, well-spoken, but when you hear his lyrics, like, you know, you can see just why they kind of got labeled what they were, but he's, God, this song is so hard.
Yeah, those lyrics are all the lyrics on this are great. And this is a near perfect hardcore song. I love this record. It's one of my favorite records of all time. And you may have bailed me out. Maybe I won't take something off this now that it's on the list. But this is perfect. You know, like those last lines of this song, if I can remember, like it's like no tactful use of words can make me see it your way. I'll piss all over your holier than thou words. Like, fuck. So good.
You know, we're spending all the time talking about the lyrics too, but the riff is fucking great. It's just like, you know, that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way it cuts out into the breakdown is perfect too.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite riffs ever. So good. Yeah, I love this. So glad it's on the list. And I got a few backups on this album. I might take it, but good God, man, this year is so gnarly. Let's see here. Dan, you want to speak on this or do you want to take your number four?
I mean, this is not my favorite Blood for Blood stuff. Like, I like it when it gets with the long, drawn out riffs. That's how this song kind of starts, but then it gets up and hits you with that like sheer terrorish vibes. I have to laugh when I hear even just the song title. It just is just so quintessentially like a thing, you know. Well, I'm gonna stay on the East Coast so Clevo can be happy. I'm gonna go with Clevo's friends so Clevo can be happy. I'm going You Booze, You Lose by Follow Through.
Yes.
This song rips so much. I love the way it comes in. Bam, 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 bam. And then it goes to the, it like does that kind of ring out a couple times, but then it goes to Youth Crew Toms and Snare. Yeah,
but Dan, before it goes to Youth Crew Toms, it does like the accents, right? But then it lets the hi-hat sizzle. It's sizzling on the hi-hat. Yeah, sorry.
And then right when he comes in, what's going on? Oh, it's so good. And, you know, you booze, you lose. Like, this said it all to me then, says it all to me now. Like, it's so good. And it's like, call and response, like, Jesse's like, you booze. And then the backups, you lose.
And that's so a bottom line.
It's Craig, not Jesse.
Jesse's on bass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't notice him because it's bespectacled Jesse, which is a great look.
Well, we might get him on bass again one more time from me. On this.
You booze. Yeah, you I lose. Love this. That's a bottom line.
The thing is, with both these, like, they're just a little harder edged than like some of the other posicore stuff for the time. You know, it's got I don't know, it's channeling all the best parts of like Youth Crew hardcore that you like, but doing it just a little bit angrier. Which you'll continue to see. And Cleaver will play bass on something that's even more like that later on. You know.
Dude, that breakdown riff is so good too.
It's almost judge-ish, you know.
So good. I love it. This is a great pick. So stoked it's on the list because it was on my honorables, but I like it on that playlist. Ben, you want to speak on this or you want to take your number five?
I had a follow-through poster above on the wall above my bed for half a decade until I had to move out of my mom's house. And I just
break it back out.
Whenever I think I still have all those posters. I still have them all. I know exactly where they are. I put them all in this kind of portfolio thing and they're sitting in my basement. But whenever I think of this band and this song, I think of that exact spot on my bedroom wall. Like I had shit on my walls for so long. I still to this day remember exactly like where they were. Like I could reset it up exactly how it was. Great pick. This is definitely their song. This is like the follow through song. Never got to see them. I don't know if they ever came out west. For my number five pick, I am going to have to go California since, you know, there's been talk about keeping it East Coast. And I'm going to go with a band that I did not like in 1997. I didn't like until years and years later because I to this day don't like any of their records that came out after this one. I'm talking Palo Alto, California's The Donnas. The song is Hey, I'm Gonna Be Your Girl. And this band is the female Ramones. That's what it is, or this record at least. They sort of evolved into more of a hard rock influence band later, but this is just like, what if the Ramones were teenage girls? Boom, Donna's done. And the funny thing is, the guy who put out this record, Darren Raffaelli, it turns out he like wrote all the songs for them and it was kind of his idea. And like, so like unknowingly, I'm a total sexist because it's the only album I like by them and it was completely masterminded by a man. Boo. But it just like, it's fucking, if you like the Ramones, like there's a very good chance you'll like this record.
Dan, was that a fun or an unfun fact?
Fun because it allows Ben to admit that he's a complete misogynist. No, just kidding. Yeah, I love hearing stuff like that. It makes him like kind of like the Kim Fowley of the Runaways version of the Donnas, right?
Yeah, except I don't think he was like a sleazeball. Like I've never heard that about this dude. So
let's see here. What am I going to do? Okay, what do I need? I'm definitely taking something off the 25 to Life album, Strength Through Unity. I've narrowed it down to Strength Through Unity or Loyal to the Grave. I think I'm going to take that song because it's like a, I don't know. It's got Freddie on it. It's got Lord Ezok on it. It's so good and catchy. Like that, the riff it starts with is a very heavy metal riff. But it comes in like kind of, I don't know. It's like a mid-tempo on the I don't know what tempo I would say this is. But anyway, it's on like the ride and Freddie's just like flowing on it. So good. And then goes to a sing-along chorus. And then like the second verse, it like drops to like a slow bounce and ease aux on that one. And then they do the chorus again on like that slower drop tempo. So good. And then back to like an up tempo for like the final part, which like kind of makes no sense going there, but I love it. It's very YOLO, like Rick's part on the end, like the, we all been judged. We all make mistakes. We all do not bad, 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 whatever the fuck he says. Dan would have to tell us is the only guy that's ever gotten a 25 lyric, right? But yeah, this song rips. I think that like, you know, we all know how this band ended up and like the reputation and all that, but like they had a run that no one can take from them. You know, the first 7-inch and the demo 7-inch are good, but the recordings aren't great. But the Keeping It Real CD is so good. And this, the 25 to Life Strength Unity, came out on a CD and a shameful 12-inch or shameful 10-inch, which I have. So good. Like those two records are awesome. And like if you listen to how hardcore sounds now, like all the moshy stuff, like this is like roots. So I don't know. I love it. Dan, are you familiar with the song?
Yeah. Because
in all the homework you've done for the trivia.
Well, a little bit of that and a little bit of like, this is one that you sent across like early on saying, no, really, they're not just a joke. You should check this and this and this out. And I'm like waiting for the part where I get the Freddy lyrics and someone else gets Crazy Rick lyrics. I'm like, yes. I can actually hear what he's saying. But yeah, I really do like that you know, acknowledge where they've gone and how ridiculous things have gone down. But the fact that you're like, no, at a moment in time, this was like, this really was a huge band. Like they could headline Showcase, you know? Right.
And yes. And they were great players. Like
yeah.
the era of those two records, like they are serious players. Like they played the San Diego Showcase. I went to that and, there was like a drum riser that spot. And like this drummer, there was like 8 people just watching the drummer. Like yeah. They were serious. And like Fred Ness could like play and Beto was on it, like on the CD before. I don't know if he like did any of the writing with this and like, I don't know, the bass is sick, everything. Like it's like a heavy metal, like caliber, like musicianship on this, you know, which is how hardcore is now. Right. Like if you listen to like a lot of the hardcore bands, even the ones that aren't playing like metalcore, like, the musicianship is like on the level of like pro heavy metal bands, you know? And like, this was kind of few and far between back then. Like a lot of bands were playing like, you know, metal or like slow, heavy songs, but you know, there was always like one guy in the band that sucked. So it like made the band kind of suck. And then also like, I don't know, dude, 90s metal hardcore, like so much of it is just so fucking boring and bad. Wanky. And like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's slow. It's like a slow slog. Like I won't go through a list of bands, but like I had to sit through them all at the Showcase. You know what I mean? To like see Ignite play. You know, it's like
yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's
but so then true. But then this stuff was like, I don't know. For some reason, it just like it made sense to like my ADD ass brain.
What's you know, the and New Yorkness of it as well. Even though it's so metal, it's still got that New York like scally vibe. You know.
Yeah, and they have some short songs, right? Like, there are some long songs on this stuff, but, like, I don't know. They keep me on my toes enough that I like it. So,
hey, this one goes out to Yous Guys because Yous Guys knows what's up.
That is right.
These belts hey, I want to know one thing, though, before we move on really quick. Has Clevo ever been in a 25 pit?
Yes, of course.
Okay, good.
My man. Let's send it to the man of the hour, Clevo. Number 5.
Yeah, I'm going to stay in New York. Going with a breakdown. I want to see a street fight. And really you know anything off of this. So I want to take what it is, but I feel like that's cheating cuz that's a re-recorded version of you know, one of their older songs. Although I do love the Mike Dijon breakdown lineup, but this song has kind of everything you want from Breakdown. You know, it has, you know, Jeff just not really taking himself too seriously with the lyrics, even though, you know, he's singing about a street fight, but, you know, walking around with a Big Mac out of nowhere, someone gets whacked. But the song is great too. Like the riff, just like, you know, it has that Mike Dijon style where it's like, you know, just like kind of, you know, has the vibe, has some bounce, you know, it's hard. And then, you know, I want to see a street fight.
Yes.
Man, everything about this song. But yeah, anything off of the studio tracks off of this, 100% should be on this list.
Yeah, this is so good. This is like, it's Dijon putting like his touch on like the classic Breakdown sound. Like it does sound like 87 demo Breakdown mashed up with Crown of Thorns. Like, this is so sick. And like the lyrics, yeah, while tongue in cheek, like classic hardcore, right? I don't care if you're white or black, start the violence, fuck the facts. Like, fuck, dude. So gnarly. But yeah, that's like all time line, that walking down the street with my Big Mac. Like, dude, shout out Hardlore Podcast. Like, that needs to be your theme song.
But also, how many people have been influenced to take a Big Mac to a Breakdown show now?
right. I love it. I'm so glad this made it on the playlist. And I don't think it's on Spotify. I wish it was.
It's not. And that's just a crime.
Yeah, it's a crime because like it holds up so good and like people would love it. So whoever has the rights to this, please put it on Spotify, right? Like, I don't know. All the Crown of Thorns stuff is up, so that's sick. But yeah. All right, let's see what's up here. Dan, number 5.
Okay, I'm bringing it. Well, yeah, I'm going to take this now because I think Cleaver's probably sniffing around this area, although he's going full East Coast bias, so you never know. This song opens with like a bouncy, almost double time D beat. While the guitar goes, and then it just goes into this like almost like gallopy like thing. It is Sound the Alarm by His Hero Is Gone. It is so brutal and it is so absolutely it's a short song, but it has so much character and so much like parts that it's not just all brutality at the time. It, like I say, it has that, like the drums come in by itself with the guitar just, what is it called? Pick sliding, but very slowly to add like some stuff. And then it goes into that gallop. And then when it gets to the chorus, it goes into almost like a chugger like version of it. And he's just voice, Sound the Alarm! It's so good. The fabric is coming apart at the seams. The gears are locking up in the well-oiled machine. Sound the alarm. Something's gone wrong. Like, so it's just, I mean, I assume it's talking about capitalism, but I'm not sure exactly. But I would lean that way. And I think it's pretty good. I love the last line. The sickness will survive. No chance this machine can stay alive. His hero's gone. You know, precursor to tragedy, completely. It's, you know, tragedy will come along and then take like a lot of this and then add those, I don't want to say ethereal because they're not ethereal, but those very interesting guitar parts that take you away from this and like build the scape out. Maybe their version of what adding a little Neurosis to this would be.
Well, but no, it's. It's the Atari 7. The Atari 7-inch comes out this year, and so once they hear Octavio get down, then they're like, "Okay, new band. We're gonna do His Hero Is Gone mashed up with the Atari 7-inch, and then you get the tragedy first LP."
Perfect analysis. But this song is so good. I mean, I could have taken Scare Tactic. I could have taken a couple others, but just the brutality of the Sound the Alarm on the chorus, and the fact that this is. Such a short song, but does so much interesting stuff during these small parts. I really love it.
It's it's crazy that, you know, His Hero Is Gone puts out two LPs this year, plus the split with Uranus, which, by the way, I actually think it's Yannick from Uranus coming into basically the core of His Hero Is Gone that makes Tragedy sound what they sound like. But yeah, the fact that they put out two LPs, which neither of those LPs are on Spotify, because I had Monuments of Thieves on my list, but yeah, there's so much to pick from this band from this year.
Well, I chose this. I went with from this record because this is on Spotify.
Yeah, and I think this is a great pick. It's sub 1 minute. That pick slide is a great call out. You know, I love a classic pick slide. The greatest of all time being Brotherhood by Death Threat. You know, that pick slide is like, it's the B side of a coin of that powerhouse buildup. Like, it just goes on forever and it's so sick. But, this is great. And yeah, it's this beat is like an interesting beat. It's like a slower D beat that like swings. It's very strange. Yeah. But like very cool.
Yeah, it's totally like, you know, like Jose Palafox playing in Discharge or something.
Yeah, it's like it's a swinging D beat. It's so sick, dude. This is a great record. But Monument of Thieves, probably the most classic. And again, just a crime. There's so much of this 90s shit that's like not on streaming. It's like handle business, people. What's going on?
It's such a forgotten era. Like it was on record and then it was, you know, on CD, but then a lot of the people that spent the time putting this stuff out just aren't around anymore.
Yeah. So like, why? I don't know. I don't know. It's very frustrating. Anyway. Okay. Let's go on. I think we're to Ben for his number six.
Yeah. So I've done New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Washington, Nevada, and California. Let's just keep it going with never picking the same state twice. Of course, I'm going to fuck it up in my heartbreaker round, but I'm going to Texas, El Paso, Texas, the band At the Drive-In, the first song off their first LP. First LP's Acrobatic Tenement. The song is called Star Slight. And I've discovered this band seeing them open for By the Grace of God and AFI, I think, in 98. And they did not sound like this anymore. They had definitely moved into a more Fugazi-ish direction, and that's kind of what they got big off of. But this doesn't sound like that stuff at all. I mean, the singer sounds the same. You can tell it's at the drive-in guy. But like, it doesn't really have a Fugazi influence. It's very, very original sounding. I don't even know what to compare it to. You could definitely say like it's somewhat in that emo ballpark, but it's just one of those kind of standalone records where it's like, this record sounds like this record. Like, and I can't even think of any other band that is like, yeah, we're going for that first At the Drive-In album. And the name has kind of been sullied. Like, I'm sure like some of you guys are rolling your eyes. He's picked an At the Drive-In song. But I'm telling you, this shit's on Flipside Records. It doesn't sound at all like that later stuff that when they were on Grand Royal. So even if you're like, you think you have it figured out and you can't stand this band, still check this out and maybe you'll surprise yourself.
Either of you want to speak on this or should I go to my number six?
I got nothing.
Well, what I'll say about that, the song that Ben chose, it's like it has elements of Revolution Summer, but it also has like some crazy Latin like rhythms, but at the same time it is very catchy and of the day of what like a lot of that emo stuff would be.
This is very hard to decide what to take, but I think if I'm being honest, I got to take a Lifetime track, and I think I'm going to take the best vocal performance by Lifetime, Cut the Tension. When it goes like the chorus, when it's like, "Tonight I don't wish it's like, God damn, dude. He is getting down, and he's hitting some notes, and it is taking you on a musical journey. But yeah, this LP is, it's a dartboard record, right? Throw a dart at it. Whatever track you hit is a winner. But like, yeah, I don't know. This one, How We Are and Cut the Tension are probably my two favorites. But like the vocal performance on this is just like out of this world. So I'm going this way. Ben, how do you feel about this track compared to yours?
Can't go wrong with any of it. This song is great too. I'm still happy I got my pick in, but hopefully by the time this is over, all of us will have a song from this album. We'll see.
All right, let's see here. Dan, you want to speak on this, or should I shoot it to Clevo for his number six?
No, let's just keep it rolling.
All right, Clevo, you can speak on this, or you can take your number six.
This was actually the song I had shortlisted from it, so excellent choice.
My man, known as the dude in the 25 to Life pit, choosing the correct Lifetime song, respect.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Dan's early pick. I'm going to take Shadow Talker off of the Ink and Dagger 7-inch. You know, the Shadows. I think this whole record, you know, I think the first song, just that long intro that Dan read us through, you know, it takes a while to get going. I think this song just really kind of goes back a little bit more to you know, that the first 7-inch, that just like has that, it's just that, like I said, that swizzy like sort of Jason Farrell guitar work going on it, you know, and just really you know, and plays up the vampire stuff too, like with the, you know, hiding in the shadows and all spooky and whatever. I love this record. You know, pre-ordered it, got the special colored vinyl. Like, I was just so psyched, like as soon as it got announced, I was just waiting for it to come out. So glad I have this. RIP Sean, this is fucking great record.
Hell yeah. Dan, how does this hold up against the choice you made?
My choice is better, but this one is so San Diego as well. It's so Swizz, but it's also so San Diego, like on the 3-1 G tip.
Yeah.
You know, it's rad. I just wish that hi-hat, like, you know, we were talking about the powerhouse part where it goes for a long time. I wish that, because that hi-hat part at the beginning goes for a while, but I just want it to go for like another 20 seconds just to make Zach go crazy. It's really hard to transmit to maybe some people listening, like, that may not have heard of Ink and Dagger or whatever, but this year, or like 96, 97 of them, and maybe 98, 97, 98, right? Of them, it was a massive, like, little tremor in core because of what they were doing and bringing like showmanship and weirdness and just it. They're a band that, like, as they moved further on and they started incorporating a lot more music into their stuff, it was really interesting. But at the same time, you think of like Don being in Rain on the Parade at the same time as being in Ink and Dagger, two different worlds.
Hell yeah. All right, Dan, number six.
Oh my God, I've only got two left. That's insane. All right, well. Oh God. You know what? I'm going to take that Integrity song that I was talking about because it is so good. It's a diseased prey within casing. Now, this is the song that comes in right after Zach's pick. And what's so sick about it, it's got this like total chuggy, like almost like beatdown-y-ish part that it's doing as like a almost, I would say the intro to the song, but it takes up almost half the song. But then when the vocals kick in, this is the son of Abraxas Annihilation. this is almost the same style and Systems Overload. It's like if Systems Overload, the song, and Abraxas Annihilation had a child at about, let me give you that Posse Chris timestamp.
While you look for the timestamp, Dan, it starts kind of like Judgment Day as well.
Yeah, yeah. So about 31 seconds, that's when it'll switch to this music that is, it seriously is like Abraxas Annihilation and Systems Overload. Like the two riffs are like smashed together and the lyrics are so, you know, typical angels hover above like vultures, pray. And then he flips the word. So it's like pray like you're being ripped apart, but then it's pray like you're praying for forgiveness, sickened flesh decay. It's just grade A Dwid lyrics, grade A Melnix, and it's the song is over in like what 106, and it feels like it's going to be this epic Integrity song, and then just when you think, oh my god, I can't, you know, you're locking yourself in, the song's over. It's a really fantastic song, and yeah, we all encourage people to pick up Seasons in the Size of Days. If you've never thought that was a classic Integrity record, the Melnix are on it. Get it.
Hell yeah. All right, Ben, let's go to you for Heartbreaker Round, your number 7 pick.
Man, this is a tough one because I really want to pick a song, another song that is not on Spotify, but is on Bandcamp, I'm noticing right now.
Just take Rain on the Parade, dude. Come on, let's do this.
I thought that Rain on the Parade record came out in 96, though, the good one.
Yeah, but the second one has hits, dude. That Walk It Off song is so good.
But there's a certain song that's tougher than a Tonka truck, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, tougher than a Tonka truck. You can't run, but you're out of luck.
Yeah. I'm talking about Rancor, of course, and now I ruined it because they're from Pennsylvania, just like Atari. And I think they probably played a lot of the same shows as Atari. And what's the other lyric? I'm one ahead and you're two behind. When you look in the mirror, what do you find? It's so my first youth crew band, but it's so fucking good. Who fucking cares?
Oh, for then a Tonka truck, you can't run because you're out of luck. So good.
Flip the switch. I mean,
and the final sequence is so good. It's a redo of a demo song, but the demo song is so inferior to the 7-inch version because the demo song is like so much slower. And the way they do like the youth crew toms on this, it's like so fast, it's almost falling apart. These X's on my hand mean I won't take part. These X's on my hand will stand inside my heart. So good.
Yeah, and there's one of the versions he says, they said it was just a passing phase, but not me. I'm here to stay. Or they said it was just a passing fad. Fuck, I don't know. Which version is that? The one where he does kind of a speech in the middle of the song?
7-inch version, the superior version. That part is great, too. They say it's a passing phase, but I'm here to stay. Something like that.
I Won't Take Part by Rancor off of their Flip the Switch 7-inch on Youngblood Records. Come on. It's fucking dumb. Like, I was very close to picking, like, the smartest 10-yard fight song, which is We Know the Truth. And I was like, no, I'm going to come. Because it has that lyric about, like, the war on drugs. What a fucking joke. They never banned the products that helped them fucking cope. It's like, fuck yeah. But I'm going to go dumb on this one. Rancor.
97, big year for anti-smoking songs, huh?
Yeah, I should have listened.
Because people could still smoke inside venues, so it's fucking in your face and on your clothes.
The showcase with smoking inside, and they charge you $3 to go outside. Such a bummer. Okay, let's see here. This is a great pick, Ben. Respect. Dang, with Atari, Trial, and Rancor on your list, I might have to vote Ben. We'll see.
You've got Get Up, though.
That's true. That's true.
I'm voting you.
Respect. I like that. It breaks my heart that I'm not getting a Blood for Blood song on here. I would take Can't Heal. there's so much. We've talked this record before. We talked it on the episode where we talked the hard style. It's one of my favorite records of all time. It is really, really heartbreaking that that's not on my list. And there's so much shit I'm going to get into on the honorable mentions. Let me just note Blood for Blood. So I name check them there. But I have to take this song because it's wild, dude. I'm taking Candiria, the song Faction. This is a mind fuck, and it's perfect to come. It's perfect to come after Rancor, right? Like a simple straight edge song. It's like, well, how about this, dude? Even if you're straight edge, listen to this song, you will feel like you're on fucking drugs. You know, like this is just out of control. It's so wild. The drumming is insane, but like, it's just so much like bob your head riffery. And it's just riff on top of riff on top of riff. And then they just, there's so much YOLO too. Like, you know, be sick, dude, on that part. Let's put some conga drums behind it. You know what I mean? Or like, oh, let's do some marionettes. What's up? And then there's a wild jazz interlude part, and it comes out like toggling the pickup back into like some instrument that does a whirl, you know, and then we're back into like the bobbing your head shit. Also, the final riff on this track is basically the same riff that was our riff of the year last year off that Speed EP. I think it was straight lifted off this. So sick for like this stuff to be influential in like 2022, 2023. The one knock on this song, and I apologize because I think this dude has a pretty good voice and I like some Shutdown stuff, but the dude from Shutdown does a guest spot on this song, and it's probably the weakest guest spot like in the history of hardcore. Like, it's so bad. And I guess that just gives credence to like how sick the singer is from Candiria, just because his voice is like wild and shredded and he just has so much flow. I saw him play LA once. I think they had some sort of trouble and like missed a couple of their West Coast shows. So they jumped on like this show somewhere on Sunset. It was like an industry night.
It was the Key Club, right?
Was it?
Yeah, you said it before that you and Ryan and them went up front.
Okay, yeah. We were there. We were actually sitting on the stage. Like, it was such a wild night. It was all these like bullshit industry bands like playing like their little showcases for the label, you know? Yeah. And like, so they were all like gimmicky and sorry and like had, you know, it was just silly, like shit rock music, right? Trying to be famous. And then Candiria just comes up and just, there's no one there. I mean, they're playing to no one. Like, we weren't even out in the crowd. Like, I think we were just sitting on the stage, and like, they were so good, played so hard. The drummer was insane. The singer, like when he wasn't like flowing, he was like jumping just in a circle. And then like the guitarist like looked hard as fuck wearing like a baseball jersey, you know, like just everything I want, you know, and just wild. Like, it's when you listen to this shit, you're like, how does a band even come up with this? And then like the fact that they pulled off live, I don't know. And they played that hard to like no one, to be this talented and like put this much like effort into your songs, and then to like play to no one and still like be great. It's like, this is a shit, you know, like, that like old school punk ethic like runs through the heart of this stuff. And I worry sometimes, like, you know, in how arms wide open we are to everyone and saying like, oh, it's cool, you don't have to like any old shit and like this and that. It's like the scene is swung so open. Like, you know, we're pretty sensitive about the word gatekeeping and so forth. But like, I do worry sometimes if like there's some roots that are lost. And like, you know, when you see a band act like this, that like sounds nothing punk, you know, but it's like they still have like that original spirit running through them. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like the connective tissue of this whole thing. And I hope that that is like never all the way lost. So that's all. But yeah, my pick in a long winded way, Candiria Faction. And to peel back the curtain for everyone, I did share that I was going to take this song before so the guys could listen to it, because I don't think any of you guys would have been familiar with it otherwise. Ben, did you listen to this track?
I did. It has about 18 parts, and there's a part in the middle where it gets all like jazzy and clean sounding. And it's like, It kind of starts that way too. But for some reason, when it goes back to that vibe in the middle of the song, it makes me laugh. I mean, in a good way. I'm laughing with them, not at them. But yeah, it's just completely insane. Like, there's nothing else that sounds like this song.
Yeah. I mean, they have a few other tracks that are like on this level. I actually like their 95 album the most, but like here they are doing it again. Dan, you want to speak on this or should we send it to Clevo for his number 7?
Well, listeners, they have Didgeridoo on their albums. just to let you know what you're getting into there. What was it when we did a deep dive on Kenderia? Like you made me listen to that whole LP and it's just the wildest thing ever. It is chops core for people who don't think anyone else has enough chops. Like they are really strutting their stuff musically.
Yeah, the difference though is like
a down of hardcore.
Nah, I don't know. Like, because the other stuff, like when you think about like technical music that's like hardcore or like just adjacent to hardcore, you know, it's not like all wonky and weird. Like there's like a groove through this, right? Like there's always a groove in Kenderia, and like so you can like bob your head to it. Like other like technical guitar music, it's always like fucking zany, you know, and it's like not a beat through the back of it.
Yeah, I don't mean it's chops like Dillinger Escape Plan or anything like that. I mean it's like chops because they can lock into a jazz groove and then they can give you like a almost like a new age part and then it goes into like brutal hardcore. Like it's wild. It is literally wild.
Right, but in this era, like you would say, like, oh, who are the most tech bands? You know, maybe it's Kenderia, maybe it's Dillinger Escape Plan, and like, but they are so different because Kenderia has that groove.
Yeah, Botch is up there for tech too.
Fair. Okay, Clevo, Heartbreak Round, number 7. What you taking?
First off, I want to say that I've never been in a Kenderia pit, but I definitely got pitted on by the Kenderia dude at an Earth Crisis show. Yes.
That rules. Did he have a didgeridoo on him?
He did not. He fucking jumped off a fucking speaker and I thought I had a fucking concussion. I was like out on my feet and then came back to it. So yeah, that was crazy. Also, someone pulled a gun at that show and they like locked us inside the club. Good old New Britain, Connecticut. So I'm going to apologize for my pronunciation because I have no idea how to actually say the name of the song, but it's the band Gauze or Gauza. And it is the title track of their album. It's Kawa Wo Arate something Denatsi Koi. The song is fucking great. I actually think that this is my favorite Gauze album. Came out in 97. I was not rocking this in 97. Luckily, I went back and got into some of those Japanese stuff that was in my blind spot. But this song starts off, this is another one of those songs that just starts off with vocals, no instruments. And he says the name of the song, which roughly translates to go and wash your face and come back, which is like a put down. Like I just beat your ass, go wash your face and come back for more. He says that. And then it's just like a really chuggy riff. And then it just like, it gets a little spastic and then it comes back to the chuggy riff. And if I can believe the translations that I've seen online, it's just like, go wash your face. I'm laughing at you. You have a filthy face. You're trash. What are you doing? And it's just like the hardest song. Fucking love this. If you guys have that blind spot for Japanese hardcore, this is a great record to kind of pick it up at. It is not the album. The album itself is about 16 minutes total, so I guess it's more of an EP. But also, it was recently re-released, so this record is fairly available on vinyl still for not terrible money. I think Prank brought some over. I think Armageddon Shop had some. So, and I think actually all of the later records were reissued lately. If you don't have them and are looking for them, they should still be around. But this is definitely one to pick up if you're not familiar.
This is the 7-inch or the LP?
It's the 12-inch.
Okay, Yeah, yeah. The other one, like, came out on Prank in 97. They actually recorded that one in Oakland.
Yeah.
Wild. But yeah,
this is the record. It's the white cover that just has kanji, like, painted on the cover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, classic Japanese hardcore. You know, most people know the LP Fuckheads, 1985. But they keep going, like, all the way through. Like,
they just broke up. They just broke up, like, last year.
Yeah.
Or maybe earlier this year, I thought.
It was 2022. It was at the end of last year.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, this is the second track on the record because everything is just listed in Japanese. In kanji.
Yeah, this is a ripper. It's a ripper. Is it on Bandcamp, Levo?
You know, I don't know. I know it's on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, everyone check it out. Second song on the 12-inch from 97. They do a 7-inch this year and a 12-inch. So handle business. Dan, Heartbreak Round, number 7.
This is crazy. Yeah, there's... I won't list all the things that I'm like fighting amongst getting on because I will just save it all for the Heartbreak Round. But there's like 4 different bands that I really want on the list that I'm choosing between, and I'm gonna just have to go. I'm gonna have to just say, you know, the one that just squeaks ahead is I Walk the Path of True Change, commitment sworn in the name of those who still walk the straight edge, convictions held to my grave. And then it goes off again. Force of Change, Strife. It's so crazy. Strife are so fast, yet not regarded as like a fast band, you know? They're really fast.
The drumming is so good.
Yeah. And the breaks, like, this is a band that does those breaks perfectly towards builds. And that part in the middle, in my rage, and then it comes back and then gets to that, like, just super rad edge part. And then it breaks off again and goes again and then comes back in for you one more time. Like, it's a really fucking good song. I was going to go Blistered, which is a really clever song about the environment. Back then, nothing's changed. But I got to go Force of Change. Like, this is a fucking awesome edge banger. And, you know, I apologize to Octavio. I apologize to Vogel because, you know, I was going to go Despair. And then I can't believe I didn't get anything from Sick of It All on again. Okay, Don, calm down.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is a great pick. And if you guys get in the archives, the Andrew Klein interview, I actually bring up if he thinks that that Strife gets enough respect for always staying fast, you know, because like they did, they have fast parts on both LPs, like a lot, you know, it's great. It's one of the best things about Strife and some of the best songwriting in the 90s, like for sure. This LP rips so good. This song is great.
And the backups are, if you want to know what a backup, like a Gang Vocals should sound like listen to this recording, like the Gang Vocals are fucking coming hard and are very audible but punctuate every moment perfectly.
Can we settle this? Do you say Vox or you say Vox? I would say Vox. Damn, well, Vox.
I said Vox a minute ago and then I switched to Vox because it sounded weird to me.
Clevo, what do you think? Is it Vox or Vox?
I always say Vox.
Ooh, Ben, Vox or Vox?
I say Vox is Vox, but I wouldn't use it for anything plural. So if I was talking about the singer, oh, he's on Vox.
Really? Yeah, you wouldn't say gang. You'd say Gang Vocals, no?
I wouldn't. I would say Gang Vocals.
Yeah, or Gang.
Snickety.
This is insane. This is fucked up. All right. Okay. To my honorable mentions here. I got a lot. I'm going to plow through them. Breakdown Street. I'm going to plow through them again. Breakdown Street Fight. In my eyes, this is our time. Rancor, either Peace of Mind or I Won't Take Part. Driller Killer, Fuck the World, Rain on the Parade, Walk It Off. Next Step Up, Hardcore, Collateral Damage, Overtones, No Reason, That One Thing, Disclose. That whole, The Cause of War, The Aspects of War, Why Isn't There War? How sick is that, dude? In a row. The Cause of War into The Aspects of War into Why Isn't There War? Sick ass. It's like, they're just like, we're taking this D-beat flag and fucking waving it for the masses. I love it. 10-Yard Fight from the start. Dude, We Know the Truth. Great gang part. Love it. All at War, Truth in the Age of Lies. Atari, Where Were You? Ben got it. The Dwarves, I Will Deny. Oxymoron, the song The Pigs. I was hoping Dan would take it for his list, but didn't. Dillinger 4, the whole 7-inch, more songs about girlfriends and bubblegum. Great 7-inch. Kind of like their lost material, didn't make it onto the comp LP. So whatever, but 4 great tracks. Disfear, Everyday Slaughter, Funeral Oration, Then It Was So Easy, Kill Your Idols, What I've Become. God, I love that song so much. Heartbreaking that's not on my shit. Lagwagon, the song Making Friends, like that slow song, the second one off the old Platinum. 1 Second Thought, Falling Down, Follow Through, You Booze, You Lose. Sportswear, Keep It Together, and For the Sake of Dedication. Shameful that Ben didn't pick either of those. Bane, Superhero, Kickback, the song Forever War, Trial, Ascension, This Is Not a Trend. Ill Repute, Fallen, and Roots off the Bleed CD. Good Riddance, the song Lame Duck Arsenal was off the Ill Repute split. Fucking A, I didn't take E-Town Concrete, One Life to Live, or For the Fame. So good. Sick of It All, Good Looking Out, Strife, Blistered, and Blood for Blood, that whole record. 97, good God, man. Pound for Pound, one of my favorite years of hardcore. I might have to make a second playlist for this year just because there's so much shit I love. Dan, honorable mentions.
All right, I'm going Fiction and Looking a Fake in the Eye by Despair. Both of those songs are good, but I would have gone Looking a Fake in the Eye if I'd squeezed it on. Raise the Curtain, Scare Tactic, His Hero Is Gone. The Leavers Take on Genesis by Botch and The Kid by Nine Iron Spitfire. They're on the same 7-inch and they're both ripping songs. I really like, and this would have driven you crazy, so I didn't take it, but Wade in the Water by The Makeup. It's like them redoing a gospel song, or actually a kind of an old standard. It's really good. Broken Boy by Still Life. Now, this is one part of the 90s that we've not really got into the playlist as much, but yeah, Still Life was big. Now Is Our Time and Won't Fade Away by Tenfold. Those were really almost on my list, just as Back It Up by 10-Yard Fight was almost on my list. Courage to Care and Actions Fall Short in my eyes. Blistered by Strife. Stand Up by Knuckle Dust. Closer and Busted, Sick of It All, off the Built to Last LP. Go by Atari, Eulogy, Disembodied, and then Last Breath, Prepare for War, Mark My Words, Driven by Suffering, etc., etc., Hatebreed.
Love it. Clevo, honorable mentions.
The Death Threat Runs Dry, 7-inch.
That too.
The grade 10-inch, especially the song Joy of Stupidity, His Hero Is Gone, MI's demo, Judgment, The Process 7-inch. I could have gone really Japanese with those last two. Both the songs off of that are fucking bangers. Integrity, ATF Would Be Proud. We talked about Lifetime. The Reach Sky 7-inch, Sick of It All, Good Looking Out. Sweet Belly Freakdown, Victims Complex, TYFLP that I didn't play on, so I don't feel guilty adding it. Dropkicks, Never Alone, Do or Die, Better Than 1,000, Live Today. 44 Big Block 7-inch, the song Department of Youth Services. Sportswear, For the Sake of Dedication, always thinking about Peter. Hatebreed, H2O's song Sacred Heart, and I know it probably doesn't fit with us, but Fu Manchu, The Action Is Go, the song Anodizer, fucking, that's it. Short list today.
Ben, honorable mentions, and it better be songs, not full records or bands. Go.
Atari Up Front, 10-Yard Fight, We Know the Truth, Genuine, Forget, Sick of It All.
Ooh, that sucks so bad.
You're booing Sick of It All? Okay, Sick of It All, Built to Last.
I'm booing Genuine, like the worst band ever, one of them.
They were on my possibles. Sick of It All was on my honorables. Anyway, let me keep plowing through this. Sick of It All, Built to Last, Sportswear, Keep It Together, Automatic, Second Skin, Rad, Dialed, Collateral Damage, You Decide, Strife, Force of Change, Fast Break, Should Have Known, Lab, aka Life After Blast. The song is called Chihuahua. As a proud father of two Chihuahua mixes, how could I not pick that? But I didn't pick it. Time Flies, Break the Chain, Snapcase, Guilty by Ignorance, Bane Superhero, In My Eyes, This Is Our Time, Judd, Tuning Song, Handsome, Needles, Shelter, Rejuvenate, Bad Brains, Eye Against Eye, Omega Sessions version, recorded in 1980, released in 1997. Hey, I didn't pick it. Better Than a Thousand, Live Today, Hot Water Music, Never Ender, Life's Halt, Monster Joe, Ensign, Day by Day, Strike Force, Moose, Get Up Kids, Woodson, Kill Your Idols, Cousin Fred, Pennywise, Bro Him Tribute. That's when their bandmate kills himself and they just do Bro Him all over again, but they put his name in it. So it worked the first time, it worked the second time too. Pulley, Reality, Saves the Day, 119, which is, by the way, 1 minute and 38 seconds long, so I don't know why it's called 118. Sicko, Wrathchild. This is a pop punk band doing a decent Iron Maiden cover. And last but not least, Push Too Far, Dat Baby Blue Vinyl, but not the songs contained on it.
Yeah, shout out Life's Halt, dude. I love that 7-inch. Didn't realize it was 97, and I try to...
That's the demo. It's a
demo. Oh, it's a demo.
Yeah.
The 7-inch is 98?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good song, though. Monster Joe. That demo is wild. Very out of time, but that spirit is so good. Okay, final thoughts, Dan?
What a wild year. And I'm, you know, there's so much more that I could have mentioned in the honorable mentions. That's just how, like, yeah, it's very stacked, but I really, going forth threw me off. My whole strategies were whack. I missed a lot of the songs I wanted that went to all of you lot. So, hey, it is what it is. Zach's got my vote for Get Up. Although the Candiria may make me look elsewhere. Anyway, it was really good. I love doing these things with you guys.
I think that the four slot is actually easier than the one slot. I think going first is hard.
Well, the one slot, you know, I didn't get Minor Threat on the Straight Edge Super 7, so.
Exactly. It's like a mind fuck. So it's like, I love to make fun of you for that, but I'm also very sympathetic. I don't think it's the best slot there is.
Yeah, it's like living inside a Candiria song. It's a total mind fuck.
I love it. Clevo, final thoughts.
You know, even though I came into this thinking there wasn't a lot, there, I feel like I left a lot off of my list. So, you know, every year is a good year for hardcore.
That is correct. Ben, final thoughts on the year.
We were predicting there would not be much overlap, but the bands that were picked by two people, Lifetime, Ink and Dagger, Hatebreed, and I think Integrity, that might be it. Forgive me. Oh, no, The Trouble. So that's what, five bands? That's pretty significant. And the other thing I wanted to point out, Zach is the only one of us who did not pick a Youth Crew song. Interesting.
Yeah, which is wild because like we consider, I mean, it kind of makes sense, right? Because you think like, oh, 88, like that's the year of Youth Crew. But actually, like, is it? Is that the year, the best year? I don't know. And then we think 97, but it's like a lot of the best stuff is surrounding 97. You know, it's like 96, 98, whatever. But yeah, that is weird. I would have taken Sportswear. I love that 7-inch so much. If it was on Spotify, it probably would have made my list. If I'm being 100% honest to myself, I listen to that more than I listen to Candiria. But partially it's like I never got the Candiria on record. So they're like really expensive. And then I think they repressed this one and maybe the 95 one that I love so much. And like, I don't know, the represses were like really expensive, like 70 or 80 bucks, some shit. And I was just like, nah, you know? So I don't know. It is what it is.
To show that Youngblood and our friends across the pond in, I'm trying to, my mind has just gone blank on the Euro label.
Crucial Response.
Yeah, Crucial Response. They need to get this shit up on Spotify, all of it.
Yeah.
Crucial Response, even their Bandcamp only has one track from each record.
I know.
That shit is fucking offensive, dude.
Are they holding out for the purchases or what? Still?
I don't know. Like, they might be the people trying to like sell individual tracks on like fucking iTunes or some bullshit. But Crucial Response, you're bringing fucking shame to your name, dude. Straight up, that's a shameful move. Get your stuff on Spotify. If you got some sort of beef with Sweden, that's cool. You know, Stefan is pissed off Daniel plenty of times.
No.
So
He's always mad at me. He's always mad at me.
Okay. All right. But yeah, if you're upset with Sweden, you don't want to be on Spotify, at least put all this shit up on Bandcamp. Like, I don't know. This stuff is like lost to history, and dude, there's so much. Yes, and there's so much good shit on Crucial Response. Like, I don't know, it's a bummer. Also, before we do 1998 Youngblood, please put the Life's Halt 7-inch up on streaming. I think we talked a year ago. You said you were going to do it. You got no problem printing shirts, but you can't get the Life's Halt 7-inch up on Spotify. Come on, dude.
Damn.
You know, hey. Come on. It's like a great record. And it's like, just put it up. They got the Rancor stuff up, which is so awesome.
What? So, I looked for it today. I couldn't find it.
Oh, they didn't? They didn't? No. Okay. Get the Rancor up too, dude. What the hell? What is going on here? You know, first, you don't put In Control on the Memories of Tomorrow compilation. Then in 2023, Rancor and Life Vault 7-inches still aren't up. What the fuck, dude? Don't let us do you like we have to do Crucial Response. I still love Youngblood. You know what I mean? But come on. Handle business. Everyone, 1997, great year. Yeah. Dan, where can people find you?
At Southport Instagrammer on Instagram.
Ben, where can people find you?
They can email 185milessouth@gmail.com and say this message is for Ben, and then Zach can forward the message to me, or you can email me directly xbenedgex@yahoo.com.
I'm shout out to me, Ben's secretary. Clevo, where can people find you?
At Clevo on Instagram
and in a 25 to life pit.
That's right, Clevo.
Keeping it real.
Yeah,
correct. Clevo, how often do people hit you up to try to like get your username?
So it hasn't happened in a while, but a couple of years ago, some guy offered me like 0.025 Bitcoin for it. And I was too dumb to do the math and was like, I was like, get the fuck out of here. Cause like, they're like, someone will hit me up and I'll be like, what, you like, let's see the offer, because I'll sell that shit.
Yeah.
Then you just go to being Clevo, aka Not Cincinnati, at Instagram.
I mean, I'll just go to Clevo Official.
And for the date that we're recording this, Bitcoin is 28,000, so 0.025 would have been about $700.
And Bitcoin's, I don't know, is Bitcoin up or down since then? I probably should have sold.
No, let's not get into crypto, dude. Come on.
It would have been.
No more discussion on this. Let me wrap. Can I wrap, please? Everyone, 185milessouth@gmail.com. 185milessouth on Twitter and Instagram. Zach, Retaliate on Instagram. And you know, Retaliate is the best on Instagram. Everyone, we love you all. We'll talk to you next week on Patreon.